Moving on to point of purchase advertising or POP, POP. POP is a very essential part of any sales promotion strategy for products sold through stores. It provides a final all-important step in the process of capitalizing on brand awareness and influencing individuals' purchasing decisions. They influence your purchasing decisions. It's both a part of the integrated marketing mix and an impulse stimulant as well. Imagine you walked into a store which gave you, right at the beginning, at the start, 70% off on all items. It's 50% exclusively off for all members of the store. It'll influence a decision and make you buy that product even if you were not supposed to. It has the ability to influence the purchase decision at that very moment the consumer is selecting a product. For example, let's go back to the store. You are in the store and now I show you near an ad, another ad which says if you pay through an XYZ bank's card, you get up X percent cashback too. It further influenced you to take that decision. And that's what POP does to you. When you're actually trying to purchase the product, it influences a decision at that very moment. It is defined as displays, signs, structures, and devices that are promotional and are used to identify, advertise, or merchandise an outlet, service, or product and serve as an aid to retail selling. It is one of the most effective way to support your advertising communication and amp it up versus all the other media options that you had. The types of point of purchases are as follows. Signages. You see different signages through which the display sizes and the messages differ, wherein the size and where the signage is placed also matters. Signs are basically attached to a display which may include the price or the information about the product. Shelf media such as shelf talkers and shelf strips may be attached to existing fixtures, exteriors, and they don't take up precious floor, wall, or counter spaces. That's the best part. So signages are very easily noticeable in any store, wherein you can just read it quickly and move ahead and continue your purchase. Window displays. These are very popular methods used by a lot of chemist department stores showroom, wherein you try to show the best through window displays. Window displays can directly attract the consumer and they are used by a lot of manufacturers to promote retailers to display their product attractively. When was the last time that you went to a store? I'm guessing today, yesterday, or a chemist or a medical. You have a lot of these stores, like an electronic store or a furniture store, getting their boards or getting their displays advertised by specific companies, wherein they get an extra share, they get a more visibility, and they get much more branding compared to the store itself. Display cards. There are different cutouts which are placed in front of you in a showroom, which has, let's say for example, you enter a furniture showroom and a specific table has an off, there is a placard on top, or there are a display card in your restaurants, bars, cafes, and it also makes you believe that yes, when you come inside, you can specifically go to those areas where these cards are and see what is actually happening, what kind of discounts they're actually offering you. Huge cutouts of a lot of products like a fruity were placed besides boxes fitted with hay and food packs. This gave the impression that the fruity was as fresh as the mangoes. So you can be as creative as you want to. Now, this is where you use the medium of a display card most effectively. Just an example, there might be many more. The next is wall displays. Here the folders may be stringently placed on a specific wall, across the wall. That's why they're called wall displays. Next is merchandising of racks and cases. A lot of manufacturers may supply the display racks for their products. They want their exclusive racks or their cases. Like every time you go to a shop, you see a Cadbury case in which Cadbury chocolates are placed. You see a Red Bull fridge in which Red Bulls are placed. You see Snickers small fridge, which you can take out Snickers or an ice cream or many other brand, which just push it at the cash counters or near the user's first point of contact in the store, and they have a lot of visibility for their own brands. With merchandising their own, the retail counters, cases and racks. In-store commercials. This is the most latest form of PUB advertising. Now, the commercials are basically viewed by consumers when they're within the store, and they act as salespeople trying to offer a sale or affect a sale or make a sale happen. Let's say you enter a store and there was a commercial played on TV. Big bonanza offer, Diwali coming soon. You get 0% charges on making in a jewelry store. It will affect a sale. What happens over here is these are electronically operated display panels near cash counters or small screen near placed near shelf spaces, which can be used to exhibit these commercials. And these are the most commonly seen and witnessed in supermarkets. The different advantages and limitations of POPs, wherein if you see and if you notice, a lot of POPs and the types of POPs cannot be placed at a lot of places. Advantages are you get, the manufacturers get a lot of visibility using a POP. It acts as an interesting, easy branding technique and a pull technique. Retailers recognize the value of POP when it increases their sales and when the customers are easily taking and placing orders. It is generally in a way similar to the TV advertisements, and therefore it gives you a reminder of what kind of products you were coming to see and the products features and products costing as well. But it has a lot of limitations with the growing competition and with the growing competition in terms of digital, newspapers, radio, TV. POP has their own limitations, and they cannot go beyond the showroom of the retailer. It is geography specific. The POP or the POP have certain more limitations, which there are no payments done by retailers for the POP material, and therefore it can be not used correctly and effectively because they did not pay for it. As simple as that. All displays and signs get dumped to places where you don't want to, and it can act negatively also for the branding, for your brand. And a lot more, you know. There are limitations in every type of media, but yes, POP has their own limitations and their own advantages. Moving forward to ambient advertising. Ambient advertising is the placement of advertising in an unusual and a very unexpected place, often with unconventional methods and being the first or only ad execution to do so, wherein it can be temporary, it can be temporary basis, it can be at places where you do not expect, it can also be placed at places which you never thought that you will see an advertisement. It has a lot of newness, creativity, novelty, and the timing are the key themes and in ambient advertising. Ambient was first used in relation to advertising in 1996 by Concord Advertising, a UK agency specializing in outdoor campaigns. Back in the days, yeah, about close to 25 years back. Unusual locations are considered a defining characteristic of ambient advertising. If a location is unusual and you see an ad, It's ambient advertising. However, unusual locations lose their point of difference with repetition and time, and so cease to be something different. Let's imagine you saw a location which you thought you will never see an ad, and you keep seeing an ad over and over again. So with time and with the repetition of an ad, it becomes boring and not so unusual for you, and it is a usual thing because it's as simple as like a holding place somewhere. It's as simple as that you saw an advertisement over there on a park somewhere in a bench, and you keep seeing an ad over there, so it becomes more usual for you. So it has to keep evolving by choosing places and locations where you do not feel that you'll be seeing an ad. Unusual location is not the only point of difference for ambient, and the second method of execution is often unusual as well. It can also be places like the crossroads, road, a bench in the park, and a lot of other things. Think of and imagine places where you will never see an ad. On the floor in a mall, probably. You can, but it's ambient. One of the most fundamental premises of ambient is that the world is an advertising stage. Consider the world in an advertising stage, and you can promote your brand anywhere you want to. Obviously, you have to take permissions for it, but it can be promoted anywhere you want to, if you consider your surroundings as your stage. Moving on to film and cinema. 29% of rural people watch cinema or matter of lifestyle and habit short feature functions with advertisement messages. Direct advertisements can be employed for rural communication. So what this does is, it gives direct advertisements for rural communication in specific areas and specific geographies again. The Indian film industry has come a very, very long way. From the first motion picture brought to India by Lumiere Brothers in the form of soundless short films in 1896, to India's first silent feature film King Harish Chandra in 1913, and in 2013, Indian cinema completed over 100 years. And that's exactly what cinema being another big media option for a lot of Indian people is very crucial and very important. The revenue that a film segment generates in India comprises ticket collection at the box office, home videos, which are CDs and DVDs, and ancillary revenues. By 2019, the cinema exhibition industry in India is expected to have over 3,000 multiplex screens. Imagine 3,000 multiplex screens showing your brand's ad at the same time. The Indian film industry is the largest producer of films globally, with 400 production and corporate houses involved in film production. The revenues earned by the Indian film industry in 2018 would reach about close to 156 to 165.7 billion rupees, and are expected to further grow at a CAGR of 4.98% during 2018 and 2020. Now, why are we studying these facts and figures? Now, why? What are they to do with our media options? They have to be telling you how important cinema or a cinema hall or film environment is, because that gives you also an undivided attention. You as a user are sitting in your seat with your popcorns and waiting for the movie to start. You will see every ad which comes in front of you because you have no option. That's what Indian cinema does. Plus, the revenues which are earned are self-explanatory. That yes, cinema also takes a good part of the media options that you can choose in your media planning. It has a very big increasing share of Hollywood content in the Indian box office, and the 3D cinema is driving the growth of digital screens in the country too. Not only this, but making sure that your experience becomes better, the quality is increasing, the sound to the visual quality, to the screen's quality, which advertise your brand in a much more better way. It has a lot of advancements such as digitalization, onset of the next generation networks and availability of more sophisticated devices to access media are together contributing to a growing chunk of ancillary revenues that comprise around 15% of total film revenues in the country. This includes broadcast syndication, internet, mobile, and other new media revenue streams. India as a whole keeps growing in the film industry, and the film industry will keep on growing, and we will keep producing movies, and we will keep seeding advertisements between the movies and the breaks and the intervals and the start of the movie. Moving on to over-the-top or digital media. An over-the-top media service is a streaming media service offered directly to the viewers via the internet. Right from your Netflix to your Amazon Prime to your old Balaji, Hotstar, where you're viewing the IPL right now, everything is OTT. OTT bypasses cable, broadcast, and satellite television platforms that traditionally act as a controller or distributor of such content. Content has no boundaries anymore because OTT, just by using the internet, gives you all this content with a monthly or a yearly subscription. OTT service providers are like YouTube and are subscription-based digital content providers. Many more are coming every day, and it as a sector keeps rising and has no way to look back. In the current scenario, Hotstar gives and sells medias to a lot of companies, specifically during IPL, right from a banner ad to an ad between the break of an hour to a lot more. And the viewership which it generates is unbelievable. OTT platforms have acted as a catalyst in the growth of audio and video data streaming by a big margin. The global audio and video traffic combined is expected to reach about 82% of all internet traffic by 2018, which is a prediction back in the days in 2015, which already has come true, and it has gone up and up and up. India's video streaming industry is all set to grow at a CAGR of 21.82% to reach ₹11,977 crores by 2023. Jio TV is going to be the biggest disruptor in this game. After full launch of its service, the ARPU, the average watching time, and the other parameters would bend in the favor of this medium. Everything and anybody, everyone and everybody are consuming their content on OTT. I'm sure you all also are binging on Netflix, are watching your IPL matches on Hotstar, are watching your favorite movies on Prime, because more than the televisions, today the rights of the movies get sold at a bigger margin to OTT platforms too. And it's convenient, not to forget. Digital media or the internet or the web advertising. The amount of growth in the last 10 to 12 years that digital media has shown is uncanny. It cannot be matched to any other mediums. It is the best example of showing how effective and economical a media form can be. The whole digital scene can be categorized into two simple categories: using of websites to display banner advertisements or using of social media. In the case of display banners, you have banners on various websites, you have SEO, sometimes which is referred to as search engine marketing, which play a very pivotal role. Search engine optimization and search engine marketing are currently one big form of consuming content. You type on Google something, it displays to you through SEO. If there's an ad which displays, it is SEM, which is search engine marketing. SEO and SEM are very different. Not very different, but different in only one way. SEO is organic, SEM is paid. The organic traffic that a website receives through Google is through SEO, and a better SEO and a more optimized website, using the right kind of keywords in the content, producing more content, new content on a day-to-day basis, plus bidding on specific keywords and key phrases or the search queries of the user through Google AdWords, through search engine marketing on various search engine platforms like Google. In case of social media marketing, brands use the social media platforms to promote themselves or create dedicated handlers to connect their target audience. Now, the easiest way to target your audience is through social media. You have a proper backend system, a backend tool provided by different kind of social media channels through which you can target your specific audience on the basis of their age, gender, location, interest, and geography. How interesting is it? With a click, you can target everybody in the world. Both are good tools, but they should be used very judiciously while planning media, specifically social media. Reason being, there are so many advertisers showing the same thing in that same crowded space. How will you differentiate? If your ad is differentiable and very, very, very new, very unique to the audience, yes, spend a bomb. If not, think your ad again. It can be proved as a double-edged sword for the brand, as the control over the content is very less and the information is in public domain. If something goes wrong, you are fried. Something goes well, can go viral. So it has its own pros and cons, and that's why termed as a double-edged sword. Here, the speed of dissemination of the content and information is very crucial, because any update or post is going to go live that moment. So to plan your content very well, you have to disseminate it at proper timings and at the timings when the users are most active and your TG is the most active on these different channels. It has a lot of effectiveness compared to all the other mediums too. No, I'm not being biased towards digital media or towards social media or website banners. But yes, for a small scale company, it's the one of the most easiest tool to advertise and go to the users in the shortest span of time. Thank you so much for staying till the end. I hope you all had an amazing lecture so far. Until next time, take care, stay safe. Tarun Makhija signing off.